I want you to take your Bible this morning, go into the book of 1 Timothy. Into the book of 1 Timothy, and we're going to be this morning in the third chapter. Amen. I've been preaching on all these little epistles back and forth here and there. And this one caught my eye, this little phrase caught my eye the other day as I was just personally reading the Word of God to strengthen me. And it stood out, and for two or three weeks it's been there on my mind and on my heart and couldn't get away from it. And so God developed it into a message, and I pray this morning God might help us with it. Without the Word of God and without the Spirit of God, we'd be hopeless and helpless and undone. I believe you'll realize today that our nation's in a bad shape. And I see the things I see, but I'm going to tell you something. I see people getting concerned about the country. I see them getting concerned about the country. The reason we're there now is because we haven't been concerned early enough. And I'm concerned and been concerned about the churches for years, and that's where it's all started. You can't blame the society and the world. We have to blame the people of God. I want to look at some things today. I pray it'll help you. You find your place out of the book of 1 Timothy chapter 3. We want you to stand. We're going to start reading this morning at verse 14. And I pray that God might help you with this in verse number 14. Paul is writing to Timothy. And he's saying, "These things write I unto thee, hoping to come unto thee shortly." He said, "But if I tarry long," in other words, if I wait a little longer, "that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh," this is Jesus, "justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world," and then goes on to tell us he is received up into glory. You can be seated and let's pray. Father, give us wisdom and understanding the Word of God this morning. Most of all, I pray the Spirit of God would direct our mind and direct our heart. Those two, Lord, if you captivate our mind and heart, then the Spirit of God, Lord, can take over and use our mind and use our heart. And then I pray, God, you'd direct our body, Lord, to be the channel and the means, God, of bringing forth a message. Lord, if you'd take our mind and our heart that's seized by the Holy Spirit of God, and I pray you'd squeeze our heart and give us words of wisdom from heaven. God, open our understanding. Help us to see what we need to see. Lord, may we take this as a practical teaching and understand, Lord, that the Word of God is so real. We give you the praise, the glory, and the honor, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want to use a little phrase out of verse number 15. Please look with me. Paul said, "But if I tarry long," I want you to read this next words with me, if you will. This is what our message is, "that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God." I want to preach on this morning how we ought to behave at the house of God. Amen. You think about that this morning. We got some problems. There's not much material in our society today on the Word of God. You can find out how to get to Mars. You can got computers for dummies, cabinet building for dummies. You got everything under the sun for dummies, but Bible study for dummies. You go down to the bookstores, and I'm not talking about just plain bookstores. I'm talking about what they call Christian bookstores. I don't know if they won't even call them that anymore. I wouldn't, amen, when I walk through them. And you try to find something to be able to teach you more Bible than you've ever known in your life. And I remember when I was a young man, I'd go into bookstores and Bible bookstores, and they would have books on the Bible. And they had some good theologians that would teach them Bible verses and books. And I didn't have any money, and I wanted to buy them. And I didn't have any money. But in one later years, God gave me a little money and the books was gone. And so I missed that little area. But you could go buy something on the book of Ephesians. You could buy something on Philippians. You could buy something. And you could read every book of the Bible and learn a little bit from the commentators. That they'd tell you what they thought. And then, of course, I realized down the road after a while that that's just the minds of men. And the best teacher is the Holy Ghost. And He'll teach us the Word of God. But you can't find much on Bible. But you can go in the bookstores and you can find program after program of how to make a program. You find plans after plans on how to build a church, how to build a Sunday school, how to build a youth group, how to build this and how to build that. And we got away from finding out what the Bible says, but we started following what Dr. Bottlestopper says. And we build and follow their patterns. We'll see in that all along. You can get the blueprints of this and the blueprints of that, and they'll tell you how to do this, and they'll tell you how to draw the crowd. They'll tell you how to keep the crowd. They'll tell you how to entertain the crowd. They'll tell you how that you can mix and mingle, and how that you can play and party and everything else under the sun. And basically, how to operate and build a church with the flesh and the minds of men. And they'll just give you all this. They'll tell you how to use your brains. They'll tell you how to use your abilities. They'll tell you how to use your talents. And all those are good. You can find a book of this and a book of that on how you can get it done. But studying the Word of God is a thing of the past in most of our Bible bookstores. They won't tell you how that you can take the Spirit of God and the Word of God in prayer and be able to dig the book and study the book. Amen. Matter of fact, I remember years ago, churches would have Bible studies. The Bible studies have long played out. We have a few little Bible studies. And I remember we'd have a Bible study, and people looked forward to it. On Monday night, we'd meet 6 or 7 o'clock, and we'd have a couple of hours of Bible study. And I had a good crowd that'd come in to listen to it. But you know what? You could announce today that we're going to get top-notch, great theologian Bottlestopper with 14 degrees behind his name. And he's going to be at Bible Way Baptist Church every Tuesday night at 7 o'clock. And he's going to teach Bible. And that'd last for about 2 or 3 weeks, and everybody'd get tired. The thing about studying the Bible is you miss one and you missed a bunch. Amen. You know why? We don't have much interest in the Bible anymore. I'm talking to church folks. I'm not talking to the Republicans or the Democrats. I'm talking to church people this morning who are born again, supposedly. You with me? You said, "Preacher, I thought you were going to tell us how to behave." Now, I am. We're behaving bad. First of all, we haven't got the Word of God as the teacher. And the Word of God is example. I want to talk about this, and let me just give you a little bearing of where I'm at here in the book of Timothy. There's 14 epistles. If you don't know what an epistle is, that's a big word for letter. Paul wrote 14 epistles. They called them epistles. But he actually wrote 14 letters. He's a letter writer. He liked writing letters. Amen. He didn't have YouTube and Instagram. He had to write letters. He didn't have a telephone or a telegraph. He had to write letters. And he used the communications of the day. Well, these letters are instruction manuals. If you want to call them that, these 14 epistles are instruction manuals on how to operate. We're living in a day when people don't care what the Bible says anymore about even our colleges and seminaries. Don't even promote the Word of God like they used to. You go to your Bible colleges and your seminaries, and I'm not being critical, but I'm just being honest with you. Hey, when I went to Bible college, I didn't want to go study English. I'd already failed that. I didn't want to study algebra and all the other kinds of things. I wanted to study Bible. But Bible colleges do not now major on Bible. Amen. They major on a lot of other things. They have a little Bible in them. Even back now, and you think about this, back when I first started in this thing, little Bible colleges or little Bible schools would come up from some of the churches. And they'd start little Bible schools. And when they did that, they taught the Bible. But now even our little churches that have raised up some Bible schools now are teaching psychology and everything else. You said, preacher, we need psychology. We need Bible. Best psychology you can get is the Bible. Amen. The only thing I've ever found is straighten out the mind, the man, and the heart of man is the Bible. He don't need counselors, he needs preachers. Amen. We don't need intermediaries, or we don't need the intercessors, and we don't need what do they call them? Go-betweens. Mediators. Amen. We don't need them mediators. We need the Bible. What does the Bible say? So Paul takes these epistles. Let's break them down. Jot this in your notes just for your information. This won't make you any richer, but it won't make you any poorer. Amen. It might swell your head, and it may not even stir your heart. But I'll give you this anyhow. 14. Write down Romans, 1 Corinthians, and 2 Corinthians, and Galatians. Write them four books down. Romans, 1 and 2 Corinthians, and Galatians. And write out from it, write them down as a preparatory epistles. Preparatory. Now that's big words. I'm not trying to impress you. I'm just telling you, if you went somewhere to learn that, that's what they'd tell you. They call them the preparatory epistles. What in the world does that mean, preacher? It means that these are letters that Paul wrote to prepare us to fight the battle. If you'll study the book of Romans and 1 and 2 Corinthians and Galatians and see all the problems they were having, the first chapter of Romans tells you where the world is. The second and third and fourth chapters tell you how man is. He's lost and undone. First and Corinthians, all those chapters tell you how bad the church was. And Galatians tells you how that there's fallen the law. And you see all the problems it's having. And they're preparing you to face the problems it's going to face you down the road. So they're called preparatory epistles. Now under that, write down 1 and 2 Thessalonians. I'm going to take my time. I want you to have this. If you can break these epistles down in your mind to understand, it'll help you a whole lot. You see, Romans, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, and Galatians, they're the preparatory, getting you ready to fight the battle. Then 1 and 2 Thessalonians are called the promissory epistles. Promissory letters, a promissory. What in the world's a promissory? Hey man, anybody got any money in your pocket? Hey man, I'm going to make sure I'm right. But on them dollars, somewhere it says used to. I don't know where it does it now. I don't have a. Hey man, don't see one. It calls a promissory note. In other words, it promises you something. Don't necessarily promise you a dollar. But it promises you something if you've got one of them. You can get something for it. Now, 1 and 2 Thessalonians is the promissory epistles. And what that means is they're making promises to the people of God, and it's talking about the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's coming again. He's coming again. That's a promise. So there's two of them. You know why I preach Jesus is coming? Not because the theologians said it. Because the Bible said it. He told me, and I take Him at His word. He made me a promise. Thirdly, put this one down. Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and Hebrews. I'll give them again. Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and Hebrews. Those four books are called the perfection epistles. Now, I'm taking my time on this a little. I want this to sink in. We're going to get down in a minute how we behave in the house of God. What's wrong with our churches? What's wrong with our society? Why do we have killings in our schools? Why can our law enforcement agents have to fear? Why do they fear for their life? Why are our college students running up and down the road and on the college places saying, "Get away, cops, we don't want you anymore"? What's happened? Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, Hebrews are the perfection epistles. They are the epistles, if you'll study them this morning, that try to perfect you or mature you to make your life better, that you'll be a better Christian and a better person and a better individual out there in the world, trying to mature you. Now, you'll not get perfect till you get to the other side without sin, but you can be and should be mature. And then jot this one down. 1st and 2nd Timothy and Titus. 1st and 2nd Timothy and Titus, they're called the pastoral epistles. Now, you know that. I've mentioned all these before, but I hadn't put them together. 1st and 2nd Timothy and Titus are the pastoral epistles, and they deal with the church. If you want to know how to operate the church, don't have to go to the bookstore and find Dr. Knothead's book. Get your Bible out. Study 1st and 2nd Timothy. If it's in 1st and 2nd Timothy and Titus, we ought to do it. If it's not in 1st and 2nd Timothy and Titus, we ought not to do it. Amen. What if it's in the rest of the Bible? Listen, it won't be. If it's not in Timothy and Titus how to operate the church, it won't be nowhere else. All the others tell you how the church did, how it started, where it got its power. But 1st and 2nd Timothy and Titus tells us how to operate it. And then there's one more, which gives you the 14, Philemon, or Philemon. Or how is it you said it? Philemon. Whatever it is. I call it Philemon. You can call it who you want to. That is a personal epistle. Wrote particularly to Philemon, and wrote particularly to about Onesimus. Amen. Several characters in that. That's a great book to study. And I believe Troy's been teaching the Sunday school. I haven't preached it here. But amen. There's just so much I ain't preached here. You behind and I'm behind. And all of us are going to die without knowing some things about the Bible. But I want to learn all I can before I get there, don't you? I'm enjoying studying my Bible. It's personal epistles. Now, 1st and 2nd Timothy and Titus are the last letters that Paul wrote. Actually, the very last letter that Paul wrote was 2nd Timothy. It is a farewell epistle. And it's words to Timothy and to the preachers. And it's filled with a heart full of wisdom and a head full of knowledge and a life full of experience. Because I read this and this, I got a little kick out of this and I looked it up. And somewhere when Paul's writing 1 and 2 Timothy and Titus, he's around 70 years of age. What a coincidence. And then I looked back and see all that Paul done and I said, Lord, I fell short 40 years ago. Understand what I'm saying this morning? It come from a life of a man that knew what he was talking about and what he was doing. 70 years old, writing. 70 with a keen mind. 70 with a good heart. And 70 with the blessing of God on him. Hey, that's a blessing, isn't it? Hallelujah. That's, if I had the strength, I'd run down that aisle and run right back up it. And get here. But I want to finish the message. I probably wouldn't make it back. Amen? And I don't think Paul done much running either there. He done a lot of writing. You know what Paul was doing? Trying to help you and me. So let's look at this. We're looking at the church and how it's operating today. How is it operating? There's a neglect today for the pastoral epistles. And if we neglect these pastoral epistles of 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, and Titus, and all the other epistles, our churches are going to be in trouble. And we've neglected them, and our churches are in trouble. I want to point this out, but I may not finish this message. I may just have to unhitch and come back tonight, okay? I'm taking my time. You see, you're taking it out on me, too. I'm just taking my time. In chapter number 3, verse number 15, where our text is, I want you to read something with me that you might not have picked up on when we went through it. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, and notice this, comma, which, and he's talking about the house of God, which is the church of the living God. The house of God is the church of the living God, comma, and he gives you something else about it, the pillar and ground of the truth. Now, if I'm reading that correctly, and if my mind is operating like it ought to, and if I'm entertaining the thought, and if I'm discerning this like I should this morning, it means that God has established a church to set the pillar and the foundation of truth throughout the world. If I'm reading this correctly, it means this morning that God has established a church so everybody can know what is right and what is wrong, what is real and what's not real, what's true and what's false. Did I read it right? Hey, listen. Help me out here. I believe I'm right. So the church this morning is the pillar and ground of the what? Truth. Ground and pillar of the truth. And outside the church you won't find the truth, but you find it in the church. And when you forget the truth, forsake the truth, then we don't have the truth. Our land was fashioned on the Word of God. We're operating today without these epistles. That's why we're raising children that are rebellious. See, we're raising, not only is the church being raised without the doctrines of the Bible being taught in them, but we have raised our children without them doctrines in their life too as well. We've raised them that way. Amen. Our homes are in a mess. Homes were created by the hand of God. God intended for one man to marry one woman and till death do them part and to raise children and for that man to be the head of the house and that they are not to look to anybody else but they are to raise their children under the roof of the church of the living God where they can find the truth. Now, if I miss that somehow, somebody help me out when I get out the door, all right? I'm serious. That's what God intended. God wants every home to have a father figure or a daddy figure and a mother figure. God wants our children to be raised under mothers and dads, and for dad to be the head of the house. Go to the jailhouses. Go to the penitentiaries. Go to what they call correctional institutes, is what they call them now. And ask most of those boys and girls that are in there, and they'll tell you that they come from broken homes. Many of them come from broken homes. And what didn't come from broken homes? We're living in a broken home that they didn't recognize as a broken home. They had a mom and a daddy born from the same family. I mean, in other words, their mother was real, their daddy was real. They weren't stepchildren. But they were raised under the roof of mom and daddy. But mama didn't know God or didn't love God, and daddy didn't care about God, and they're raised up like infidels. You hear that on the news this week that they were knocking our vice president. That woman said, Vice President Pence talks to God, talks to Jesus, she said. Talks to Jesus. She said the problem, and she went on to say, she said, he says that Jesus talks to him. And then she said, sounds like mental illness to me. And I said, woman, you just have said on national TV that I'm a top rank infidel that does not know God and don't want God, and I'm headed to hell and proud of it. That's just exactly what you said, woman. If I didn't believe Jesus speaks to me when I speak to, what in the world would I want to waste my time speaking to Jesus? You speak to me, and if I speak to you and you never speak to me, I won't continue. I speak to you today, you just look at me. And I speak to you tomorrow, and you just look at me. And I speak to you the next day, and you just look at me. And you never speak back. Why, I'll tell you what, I'll go by you like you didn't even sit there. You know why I speak to Jesus? Because He speaks back to me. Not in an audible voice, but in a better voice. I can hear Him, it's plain. Sometimes I have to say, huh, to you. But when He speaks, I don't have to say, huh? My wife sometimes says, you need a hearing aid. And I said, no, you just need to speak up. She said, well, I speak up. I said, well, I'm everywhere else I hear everybody speaking, but I get around you, you can't hear you. You're driving up the road the other day, and the radio was going, and she was speaking. And she said something, and I said, what? And she said again, and I said, I'm sorry, but I didn't hear you. She said, you need a hearing aid. I said, well, I hear them on the radio. They're loud enough, but I can't hear you. You must speak louder. Amen. I know she's got a volume, because sometimes it gets out of control. She ain't here to help herself this morning. But y'all will tell her, I know you will. Amen. I was talking to a fellow at the restaurant yesterday, and he said, why, they said about that boy down there, 19 years old, went to school, shot them 17. They said he had voices. He heard voices. I said, I understand that. I said, it's devils. He said, but they had voices. I said, hey, everybody hears voices. He looks at me like, you hear voices? I said, yes, sir. Matter of fact, I get worried when somebody says I hear voices. And to a Christian, we don't hear voices. You said you just said you did. Everybody, well, put it, I don't hear voices. I hear a voice. I read throughout the Bible. Read it with me. Go in there, anywhere you want to. And it said a voice out of heaven spoke. Didn't say voices out of heaven spoke. The Spirit of God's a voice. And He speaks to me. So I said, yeah. They hear voices. Little devils in hell speaking to them. Devil's little cohorts. The devil's little imps. His little agents. Whatever you want to call them this morning. Amen. We're looking at this. Our homes are in array. They're in a turmoil. Amen. They're looking for other things today besides the Word of God. There's no such thing hardly today, and I'm talking about, and listen to me, Rick, it's hard to find today a Christian home influence. I said a Christian home influence. That's where a Christian home influence is, where daddy's in charge. Mama's putting her 2 cents in worth of all time, you know. Sometimes it's a quarter's amount and a dollar or two amount. But the man of the house puts his foot down and said, as for me and my house, we are going to serve the Lord. And when Joshua said that, I don't believe that was the voice of his wife speaking. I believe he's strong enough to say that. But there's a lot of men ain't got enough guts or intestinal fortitude, amen, to say that in their homes. And if you was to go over at night, you'd probably find them roosting on the bedpost. With feathers on their legs. Being like that fella I saw the other day, first time I'd ever seen it in life. I'd seen it in pictures and things. But I went into a place, a business, and I was in a behind this fella paying for it, and he unstrapped a pocketbook. I'm not talking about a woman's tote bag, looked like to me. He unsnapped it, looked down in it, got out his little billfold, looked like my wife's billfold. Went in there and got something, and he paid for it, put it in there, and done everything, and put it up on his shoulder, and just pressed right on out the door. And I said, there's something strange about this picture. Went into the place of business the other day. A man and his wife comes in, and she comes in, and she's over there, and I look at that. And first of all, I thought, this woman must have had cancer. You know, you see a woman with real short hair, cut off and bobbed off, you think, well, she's had cancer and probably had chemo. She couldn't help it. I looked, and I still don't know where that was right or not, but she's walking in with this thing that had a ponytail. And it's all rolled up. And I said to myself, if that stuff gets tangled up, he's the man. But you know, he has to... Amen. Me and Brother Virgil has no trouble with our hair in the morning. We just slap our head about 3 times and walk out. Why a man would want to wear a ponytail and he's got to pick it up and do all this stuff? And walk down the street. Something wrong with this picture. Amen. I see that. No home, no Christian home influence in our children's lives today. Daddy hasn't taught them the Word of God. Mama hasn't lived the Word of God. And neither one of them obeys the Word of God. And they go anywhere and everywhere. You raise kids like that and they liable to walk into some school and shoot it up. Don't teach them human life is important. Boy, I got to hurry. I just probably have to unhitch in a minute. Too much here. You don't want me to skip it, do you? All right. Think about it. No Christian home influence. Number two, no Christian school influence. You can't send your kids to the public school and expect them to get a spiritual, godly education. Thank God little old country schools like we've got, we still got some good, godly teachers. I do appreciate that about our place here. It ain't that way everywhere. But they can't, they're limited to what they can and cannot do. And even our so-called Christian schools. I know this for a fact. I'd been sitting under preachers Get your child in a Christian school. Preachers, you ought to get your kids in a Christian school. I done raised two of my children in a public school. They didn't turn out too bad. I don't think it's a school. It's home life and church life. But guess what? I took my daughter to a Christian school. Let her look it over. She said, "Oh, I like this. I like this." So we tried to scratch out the money and did and sent her to a Christian school. I didn't know about Christian schools. Next thing I know, she got in there and they switched from the King James to another version. Had to pull her back out and put her back in a public school. And I would to God today, I'd never taken her out of the public school unless I'd found a better Christian place to put her. And there wasn't one available here. I didn't know much about homeschooling at that time. You hear me? While she's in that school, she run into a fella, ended up marrying him. Come to find out, he was a reject. He'd done been thrown out of several schools, and they put him there and found out that that Christian school was, that's what they was made up of. Most of them was those that couldn't get along at the other schools. Then she ended up with a divorce. Not blaming all that, but I'm telling you this morning, that's where we are in our nation. Can't get a Christian school education anymore, hardly. And then there's no such thing as a Christian church or a church where you can go to get a full-fledged Bible influence. They mix and they mingle. They play and they just entertain them. Don't give them no Bible. Teach them the Word of God. And so guess what? You take a Christian home out of this picture, you take a Christian church out of the picture, and you give them a public school that don't have no God about them, what do you expect to raise? See where I'm coming from? Them's the three things that's important for every child. Where they get their raising, where they get their education, and where they get their spiritual help. You give them, take that, them three things away from them, and then you got some more factors that jump in, the world, the flesh, and the devil. And they'll take it over. And when you got all them working against one boy or girl, no telling what gutter they're going to end up in. And that's where we are in America. Then they start listening to the trends and the fashions, the Hollywood movie stars, the sports players. They make them their idols. The social media through Facebook and Twitter. I get so tired every day hearing parents. I'm talking about parents every day saying, "Yeah, I seen that on Twitter. I seen that on Facebook. Hey, why can't you tell me you saw that in the Bible? You saw that in the Word of God." We don't tell our kids. It's what Twitter says and Facebook says. It's going to be a downfall. It already is. Then we let our kids run with unholy friends that have no God about them, have no parents that teach them anything. And their peers to them, they look good and smell good and act good. And the next thing you know, they take on their habits, they go where they go, they live like they live. Put them under liberal teachers and let the social media take care of them. And brother, let them hear the strange things of the world. And no wonder they start hearing voices in their head. Not zeroed into nothing. I'm going to quit right there. Ain't you glad? Because where I need to go to from here on out is switching around how we should act in the house of God. That's enough right there to choke you, so we'll just go on that. That's enough to think on for evening. Amen. That's a pot of beans with a whole ham bone in it. That'll stay with you. You won't get away from missing. I pray God help us. Heads bowed, eyes closed.